Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Jason Reitman,
Helen Estabrook,
Jay Carson,
Matt Pai,
and my arm is now out of socket trying to read. No, we're here talking The Front Runner, the great new movie starring Hugh Jackman, the Gary Hart story, 1988 presidential campaign. Thought he was the front runner, and a lot. I like how you say a lot can happen in 3 weeks, and then the title text fades away and we get the title. That was a nice little touch. Let's start with the writer. When you're penning the book, when did you stumble across the story? I know we were all kind of a young age when that actually happened, but when were you like, oh, I gotta write this thing?
It is a strange decision, and I started in about the end of 2002. I was writing with the New York Times Magazine. I met Hart. I was doing a piece on him. Found him to be compelling, but more than that, as I sort of thought about it, chewed over it in the years afterward, thought that there was maybe a connection we'd missed between that moment and what had happened afterward, and decided I wanted to write a book about it. And it was a sort of counterintuitive idea, but I think events have borne out some of that relevance, and we all got together and worked on the movie, and I think it's you know it's a story people need to hear.
Absolutely.
And talk about sort of the powerful moment in history that this was for journalism, but the press, politicians. I mean, this was, what, 10 years before Monica, almost, Lewinsky? And I like that you included some of the things in the movie about how, you know, some callbacks to LBJ and Kennedy, and said you're going to have a long line of women coming in here to pay no attention. And then to see where we are today, you know, with Stormy Daniels and all that stuff, why do you think this is a unique moment in time that this was the time that was finally the reckoning for this? Why in 1988 as opposed to when the 60s it was, you know, hush-hush, and now it's almost like we've fallen even farther where now it's just like there gets away with it now. But why do you think there was a unique moment there in time where that finally was a breaking point?
For the political question, I'm going to pass this on to our political expert, Jay
Carver. We'll talk
shop. This movie is about a moment in 88 when everything changes. You have the confluence of a number of events that happened that caused the press and the operatives and the candidate to behave, and the voters to behave in a completely different way. Mostly it's a gripping human story that captures a moment where a guy goes from going to be the next president and then 5 days later he's never going to work in politics again. I mean, a number of things had changed at that point, but one of the reasons we were drawn to this is because we have captured a moment here where there's a through line to what is going on in politics today. And we all came to this looking at the system and saying, this is really messed up. This is completely broken. How did we get here? And we tell a story of how we got here.
I want to know, you mentioned it briefly in the Q&A last night with Ann Hornaday, but the decision, you said you wanted it to be sort of not chaotic, but where the viewer's making choices right away, not just a movie you can sit back and just passively let it wash over you, that you want to just actively engage us. Take me into the decision behind that and sort of planting the microphones on everybody. Decide to go the Robert Altman approach on that one.
Hmm. There was a moment early on where Matt, Jay, and I all decided that we wanted to make a movie that felt and looked and sounded real. That this was a story in which we want the audience to be to feel as though they had just been dropped on the campaign trail or dropped into the kind of newspaper offices, and forced to make the same decision cinematically that we were asking them to make philosophically. What is important? What is entertaining? And what is actually relevant? You know, the same questions that we're asking ourselves all the time today. And when we look to filmmakers like Robert Altman and Michael Ritchie, who, you know, we're all big fans of, and, you know, we watched The Candidate very early on and looked to that film almost as a North Star in its tone and its style and its shooting preference, we thought we need to somehow write this in a way so that characters are always talking over each other, and visually we shoot this where there's always more than one thing to look at. In fact, this was kind of a general rule for us on this film, was if only one thing is happening, then we're doing something wrong. And we got to a point where you could just feel it. It's like, oh, something's not wrong. Oh, something's not working right. not enough's happening. And then, you know, if someone's getting to make a speech, you know, the way someone normally does in a political movie, it's like, better interrupt him with the pizza guy right now to make this feel real. So the audience experience, hopefully, is that there's a lot coming at them, and they are forced to make a choice. Okay, what conversation do you want to listen to? And that starts with the kind of sprawling two and a half minute opening shot, and goes all the way down to the last frame of the film.
Yeah, explain that last image. You went into the Q&A, but how you have the
you ruined the movie.
No, how are we going to say this?
Right.
Yeah, let's not. The final image allows us to. Makes our eye look on the left. Spoiler alert. I'm trying to talk about how they're in silhouette, you know what I mean? And then the TV on the right. Is there a way we can do that without spoiling that?
Okay, let me try. let's talk about Rosebud for a second.
Rosebud's a sled, kids.
Whoa. that still feels too soon. so the closing shot of the movie is of Hugh Jackman and of Vera Farmiga. And you're watching a marriage try to hold on in the midst of a hurricane, and simultaneously you're watching a man leave politics. And we're contrasting these two images simultaneously and asking the audience, you know, what do you want to look at? What do you want to listen to? And again, philosophically, this is the question that we're asking the audience the entire movie. We're curious people. That's how we are by nature. There's a reason why we enjoy stories. And the heart story makes for a good one. It's cinematic. There's a reason why Matt Bai was drawn to this, you know, from the get-go. There's a reason why Jay Carson immediately said, man, that's a movie. And there's a reason I felt the same way the first time I heard the Radiolab piece on Matt Bai's book. It just felt like a movie. So the question is, how do we handle this on a human level? Our genuine curiosity in the details of these stories, and you know, how does that come to a head with what is actually important when it comes to our job as voters?
Awesome. And I want to commend you guys. There's a couple really cool transitions between scenes in this movie. My favorite, and it's such a small moment, but that's when I know a movie's working, when it's like the little things are clicking. When he makes the suspicious phone call from the booth, and then right after that you cut to J.K. Simmons doing a poker game, and he says something about a call. Any call that gets him in trouble?
Yeah.
Was that in the screenplay? Was that up on the set?
I never noticed that until right now.
Really?
I swear to God.
Oh, you got to check it. You're just so genius, you don't even know it.
From here on, I will 100% take credit for that.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about the casting of, the casting now. You know, Hugh Jackman, he brings so much to the role, and this you're asking him to be a little more restrained. If you can relay the story you shared last night, where you know it was almost like a boxing, the actors came out and said it was only like a boxing match, watching him and J.K. Simmons and Vera go at it.
I'm here sitting next to Helen Estabrook, our producer, and I feel like half of our filmmaking is you and I sitting there in a room talking about who's going to play these people. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure. I think one of the exciting things about I think Jason's one of the best people at casting in the business, and one of the exciting things is taking people who you've seen before do incredible things and his ability to know that they can do something that you haven't quite seen before and utilizing the things that you have seen before. So I think Hugh is a sort of perfect Gary Hart, because we have this man who, you know, by all accounts and sort of the way we show him, as a real enigma. And so you take this guy who we're used to having such access to as this sort of, you know, as the greatest showman, as, you know, Wolverine, seeing all these very, like, sort of those sorts of characters that are so different, and sort of being able to utilize both, like, Hugh's, like, inherent humanity and then also the fact that he's just one of the best actors out there right now.
And just while you still got it, talk about bringing out the humanity of Donna Rice. Mm. How our collective memories, it's, you know, often you think of Monica or Donna, you know, you like lump them in this category unfairly in your head. And then what I loved about the movie is you see her like from behind on the boat, and that's the image you think. But then when you actually get to meet her, she's so she's a fragile human, and list all her credentials, and you're like, oh yeah, she's a human being too. Talk about why it was important to bring out that side.
Well, I think in general, it's, you know, part of what we encountered in this story is this, that so many people who did know the story had very interesting misconceptions or just very sort of specific ideas. They remembered the picture. They remembered things that were sort of very simplistic. And it's like, no, these were people. They were dealing with their lives, and every single person involved in the story had their own story going on. And I think it was really important for us to show all aspects of that and what these decisions that people were making sort of at the highest level, how that reverberated, how that affected, and all of the people that it could affect.
Awesome. And just sort of in closing, well, speaking of Rosebud Twist, I love Tully, man. I thought Tully was so great earlier this year. But how compare? I mean, you're casting on. You know, we get J.K. from Juno, we get Vera from Up in the Air. But what was compared directing this to those, both in visual style and even what doing those movies allowed got you to the point where you could make this movie now?
God, it has been a very interesting year to have these two different films because they tonally couldn't be more different. The style is obviously very different on them. But if anything, it's a moment for me to stop and think about how damn lucky I am that I get to tell these stories. You know, I get to work with really brilliant writers, you know, some of the best writers who are alive. And the only reason I'm capable of doing these movies is because, you know, first, you know, a woman named Diablo Cody, who I met over a decade ago, and is kind of a long-lost sibling, lets me direct her movies. And then I get to meet two guys, you know, Matt Bye and Jay Carson, whose kind of individual careers and their previous professions are impressive on their own, and it'd be, you know, thrilled to call that a day. And then they have moved so successfully into screenwriting, and they brought me in on this, where we got to tell a story in a world that, you know, they are, you know, swimming the depths, and I am in the kiddie pool. And then beyond that, it's these actors that I get to work with, a Charlize Theron and a Mackenzie Davis. I get to work with, you know, a Hugh Jackman and a Vera Farmiga. These are all people who make me look a lot better than I am at doing my job. And are a joy to work with. So, you know, honestly, every filmmaker comes to the table with ideas, some good, some bad. I'm the same. I just get to work with really fantastic people.
And for your career, I can't wait to see, like, the end of The Candidate. What now? Thanks, guys.
Indeed.